Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Finance Committee Meeting, Part 2 of 2 Parts, June 6, 2017.
The analysis that I would prefer to do. We don't have the luxury of that.
Sure.
And I don't think that we have the luxury to say we're not going to do anything either. But, you know, moving ahead, I really hope that we can engage in some
I know from a taxpayer's perspective, there are those who might not process it very well because they're thinking that, well, you know, you're not seeing my lens. This is unprecedented in terms of the number of staffing that we're asking in one calendar year. Normally that does not happen unless you have this bulging enrollment of growth that is happening that's unforeseen. But the level of triage and outcry that came out of every single meeting, which was synonymous with we need these particular sets of individuals on the ground to begin to bandage off or reduce significantly where we are as a system. And if individuals do not feel safe within their own learning experience, it significantly becomes a domino effect in terms of all the other outcomes that we want. So when individuals say, well, at the end of the day, yes, strategic plan, but can't move forward with those things as vigorously as you would like unless you create an environment where people feel safe to be from work. We've had experiences from the since that March where
it's Maslow's hierarchy.
Every building has expressed more than they have before about their needs, what they're looking for, what's happening, the dispositions that they're seeing, the challenges they're having as teachers with some of the characteristics of students inside the classroom, and the number of students that they have to try to address and support is significantly larger than I had originally thought. So yes, I do agree that is any increase is challenging. We tried to mitigate that with the 1.7 until as we were adding, right, because we added an additional social worker, knowing that, yes, we needed to provide some family support because we couldn't have one person doing the whole entire district with what we were seeing. But then we have a number of instances that follow each other that created this these sets of requests.
Well, related to what you just said, in terms of, I guess, people not feeling safe, I guess mostly talking staff and students. The other day when we discussed this, I asked the question, what would we look like if we didn't pass? If this didn't pass, you know, what would the schools look like? What would the environment be in the school? And Dr. Smith mentioned that, or responded that, we would be able to address climate, but not address culture. So I guess related to what you just said, in terms of people not feeling safe, that's a climate issue.
Yeah.
So if we didn't move forward with this, at least from her response, that piece of it would be taken care of. And I mean, in relation to what she said, because I'm uncomfortable with the tax increase also. I've spoken to many people, and what people have said to me is, don't try to throw money at it. You know, that's the answer, you know, whenever there's a problem. You know, we increase the taxes, and I guess they feel there's nothing really changes. But aside from that, do it in baby steps, you know, don't do anything here, address the climate issue this first year, see what that looks like, and then the next year move forward with trying to put, once we get a handle on that, then go to try and make changes regarding culture, how would that work? Or would it not work? I'm asking.
I'd probably be on the opposite side of Dr. Smith's statements. And I think that at the point of where we are now as a community and where things are, that we need additional resources on the ground to harness and bring all of this in to ensure that those type of behaviors don't begin to manifest itself in the way that it has. We can't have those particular sets of actions repeat themselves. I'm not saying that there is a guarantee, but I'm saying that because there's going to be a lot more individuals needed to take care of the needs of our students, that you're going to see a significant reduction in that process. So the idea that you can allow for more presence in the hallways, more presence in the classroom, creates a sense of safety. The culture piece comes in with the repeated expectations that we have for our students and very delineated outcomes for what we expect and what happens when those expectations are not met. What would happen? It'd take significantly longer to get to where we do that, is what it would be. We don't have any mental wellness counselors. Then at the root of the challenges were students who were saying, not just students who are getting in trouble, high achieving students who are saying, there are things that I'm dealing with emotionally that I need support with as well. I'm just manifesting those behaviors in a very different way, maybe not as public as that process. Then we're triaging and being reactive to those particular situations.
It's going.
I think that it does make sense, again, to follow up Ms. McWilliams in part, that, and I alluded to this before looking at the climate positions, that there be a brief statement to try to really get out in front and be clear with people as to why we're doing this. And in the past, my experience being on the board for one other year, but also having been in the audience for over a decade, has been that the school board administration has this driven head, and it's the budget, let's just get it over with, and maybe there's been brief conversations about numbers, and not really an explanation as to why numbers have changed or gone up in a meaningful way. But I feel, to indicate to part of the community that has called for this type of activity and action, and B, to indicate even if people are not calling for that, that we are addressing it, and C, indicate clearly, without obviously getting down to a person-by-person basis, but to indicate there is a dollar amount, here this is, and this is why we're doing this, and issue a clear statement and try to get out in front and be clear with why we're spending the money and try to get some control of the messaging.
I think that's important. I want to tell you, and I'm reminding you and I'm telling you, but over 1,000 people were in Stretton Hall echoing statements that, out of a result of that, created that. Dozens of meetings with students making those particular requests. Every faculty member that I have met with in every building, I have one more building to meet with, has said, we need these particular positions in place. There's nothing here, there, that is in addition to from, we're going to throw this in here while we're at it, right? Everything was from those individuals, from the teachers, from those at the meetings, and then from the emails I'm getting from community members that many of you have received with the documents of here are some of the resources we need, all come from here's the particular consensus. So we will articulate that in a much more deliberate way that here's why we are moving forward with these positions and articulate exactly what role they will blend.
And two of the brief points are tied into that, without having a lot of details, indicate that we also, in many other ways, started to, and we'll be addressing further, culture and climate and behavioral issues. So we're not just, not that we're going to say this, but we're not just throwing money at the problem. We also are addressing it in many other ways, and don't have to elaborate that, but just make that clear. And the other point is, I'm certainly very appreciative of the very high taxes, and I'm not trying to minimize the fact that taxes, if this does go forward, will go up more than we said before, and we already have very high taxes in the community. But a number of people, which certainly their prerogative, would complain if we raise it 1.7 or 2.5 or any amount. I'm not trying to say they're wrong, but I feel that because of the situation we're in, which you just alluded upon, expanded upon, I feel that we should move in this direction. And if people complain, then understand and to some degree sympathize or empathize with their position. But again, that's my position.
All right, people can keep it quick.
Thanks.
I'm going to keep it quick. So I agree exactly with what Mr. Cohen said. I think that, if we didn't respond in a meaningful way to the 1,000 people plus who were in the auditorium, I think that would have been a position that would have ignored 1,000 voices and then some. And so I do appreciate that the administration sat down after many, many conversations with many stakeholder groups to come up with a meaningful way to address some of this. I think the metrics will allow us to see the cost benefit of this going forward, but putting policy in place is one thing, implementing that with fidelity is another. But if we, from the explanations that we've been given as a board with some of these positions, we would be remiss, I think, for example, if we didn't put in the additional mental health counselors. I think it was very thoughtful in terms of the additional work that the in-school suspension coordinator can do, as well as the administrator for climate and culture. This is what the community has been saying to us. This is what the students have been saying to us. This is what the teachers have been saying to us. To ignore that, I think we do that in our own
job. Actually, I'll tell you that besides EP that I have not met with, every elementary staff, and I met with every single one of them either before school or after school, every single one asked for an additional administrator, which is an impossible task in terms of the challenges that they, since these things happened, have articulated that we need two individuals in the building to help address some of the challenges. Please don't forget about us. I know that there's these challenges at the high school and at the middle school, and I know you're talking about EP, but the reality is we're seeing some of these behaviors manifest themselves in those early grades as well. Where's our person that we can send students to make sure that they're that process? So it is an attempt to to satisfy the ask, which has been from everyone across the board.
Okay, Mr. Wright.
Yeah. Not to quote somebody who I am not fond of quoting, but there are a couple of alternate realities we're working with here. When we heard the 1,000 people in Stretton, and the letter from it, and what we heard from the teachers, and what you hear when you go to schools, is out of frustration, fear. Mm-hmm. People are angry, people are scared, all of those things. What you don't hear when you hear that is saying to them, sure, we can do that, but it's going to cost you extra $500 a year, or whatever it is.
Sure.
It's a very one-sided thing. We need help, and as administration, the reaction is, okay, we heard you, we're going to give it to you. Then it comes back here and we put dollars and cents to it. You might have heard from the same audience had they gotten into that discussion, yeah, we want that help and we want more administrators or we want this kind of help, but essentially you better rob Peter to pay Paul. Don't add it on top of what we already have. Because the one thing that we as a board have heard virtually every year for as long as I've been on the board, whether it's true or not, it is the perception, is that we're administrator heavy. that we as a district have, based on comparisons with other districts, other like districts, we have more administrators than other districts, and that we are paying the highest salaries, and we're paying the highest taxes, and we're, and this and that. That's the perception, whether it's valid or true or not. We are already getting that, and so on top of that, now the story that we're going to tell is, well, we heard you, we heard the problem, so we're going to add 8 more administrators. And yes, we can and should explain that we're adding this not because we have offices we want to fill up, but because we have very, very significant needs, and everybody in our district, all of the teachers and blah, 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 have said to us, we need to address that, so we're addressing it as you ask. But nobody, not one person in that entire group ever said, but add to our taxes. Quite the opposite. So we can't just look at the one side of the equation and say, we're responding to what you asked for, and here it is, and not understand that the bigger, longer standing issue was that we have too many administrators, we're paying too much in taxes, we're the highest taxes, and our results are going down. Which is why I said before, we've got to show more for it than kids are feeling better about about walking down the hallway. There has to be some way of showing that we're going to turn into a better school district. And by better, I don't mean, you know, if you walk by our schools, you'll hear all the kids singing Kumbaya. We need to be a better school district in the way that parents who move their kids to a school district and all the rubrics that people measure school districts by are being attended to. And that's by scores, where kids get into colleges, all those kind of things. Not taking anything away from climate and culture. But that's a means to an end, not the end. And what's been said around the table in so many words is, this budget does scare me. Not because it's unreasonable in terms of you just took the requests that are being made and the needs that are out there and say we're really honestly trying to attend them, but it piles onto the perception of things that people charge us with in an atmosphere of not really being able to go out and say, yeah, but wait, in a year, what you're going to see is X, which you can't do. No, you can't make promises like that. But that's the reality of the environment we're going out and expressing this new budget up to the limits of the index.
Any other? I'll go out to the public. I have some things to say, but everybody's talked too long already. Identify yourself, even though I know you. Go ahead.
I don't usually suggest using fund balance for operational expenditures, because in general it's risky business. The $650,000, about 0.36 mils, give or take. If you used fund balance for this year to cover that cost, and if you thought that in looking at the budget where you would have some time, there A, might be some places that you could save money. Secondly, again, this is hypothetical, about 12 retirees would cover $650,000 to replace between the new teacher and the retiring salaries. It's something to consider, at least for 1 year. You can't do this repeatedly. But for 1 year, it might be worth a risk to pay for your increase with fund balance, and you would start the following year 0.36 mils in the hole if you didn't make any savings. If you didn't cut any of your expenditures, you'd go into the next year's budget already needing 0.36 mils. But if you could reduce your expenditures from this year, it could be that might be a viable option. And you can't predict, but if you have some idea by the number of teachers who are approaching retirement, if you could speculate what you might be reasonably able to expect, given the amount of fund balance that we have, We can't afford to make a mistake. I mean, it's not going to kill us. So it's something you might think about, at least to try it for 1 year to see if that gives you an option to raising the taxes. That I'm only talking about 0.36 mils.
So
the 0.77 to give it.
In our prior board conversations around that, and you've probably been in that, I mean, we generally would like to hate to do something like that.
I agree. Generally, I agree.
And so if we find opportunities to save those dollars next year, we can do so in next year's budget. And so nothing about this precludes our, realizing those savings next year. But what this does is it says, in order to not go into next year, as you said, potentially in a hole for positions that you intend to keep full time. I mean, we look at the ones that we've got now and say, we've got $900,000 in what we've hoped to be one time or, finite term expenses. Those that aren't shouldn't be funded.
But you've got a $900,000 windfall that wasn't budgeted from the Linwood Gardens stipulation. $900,000.
Order. Oh, you can't order. Speak out of turn.
I'm sorry.
Go get you. Okay. Raise your hand.
Whoa, where'd that come from?
Excuse me. So, but I appreciate your comment.
Wait a minute. I'm going to hear
you. he'll raise his
hand. Sorry.
No, you make a very good suggestion. It's something to think about, especially in terms of using the fund balance, but we got to make sure that we save $700,000 somewhere else for 18-19, which is possible once we get kids into Cedar Brook. My big bugaboo is we spend way too much money on transportation, and we might be able to save considerably on transportation because we're not busing kids in three different locations. So it's a good suggestion. It's something we certainly will think about. You were finished, right?
You'd like just one more thing. When is the transportation contract up?
It's almost $7 million, I believe.
It's up next year at the end of
so 18-19 will be a new contract. Well, there's going to be a few bucks there, hopefully. So, you might want to think about it. It looks like there may be, and now I'm wondering about this money, but there may be money that, if your objective, and I don't know if it is, if your objective is, can we do this and not increase the taxes more than we originally had planned to, if that is a goal that you'd like to do, then maybe there's a way to do it. And it isn't as risky as it might have appeared, because there is going to be a savings in transportation. I think that's probably a given.
Definitely.
And there's going to be retirements. And, if you come close, you can handle the difference. So it might not be as risky as it originally sounded, but, it's a philosophy and it's a decision. But I just throw it out there. But I would like to hear about that $900,000. Okay.
Identify yourself?
First, Gene, I think you're absolutely right. I think a 2.4. I'm Steve Burns, Wincote.
Okay, thank you.
For the last 16 years, I've been listening to people come in and complain about their taxes.
So have we.
A 2.5% raise will be a disaster. For the township, it'll be a with all the other issues going on, people are going to be very frustrated.
And what are those other issues?
The issues of the school, the safety in the school, those kinds of issues.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I thought you meant the other issues outside of the school.
No, people are not feeling positive about the schools, and I hear Bill. We're all supporters of quality education. There are issues of efficiency and how things are done. Napoleon, you made the comment that it's about communications. For the people that can't afford to live here, it's not about communications. You can explain this whole thing very, very well, why we're doing all of these things. If you can't afford to live here, you can't afford to live here, and you get into a downward spiral because people need to bail. They're willing to. They can't make their tax payments. They sell their house for less than they than they would want to sell it for because they need to get out, which leads to more assessment. Bill, you're shaking your head. This is what happens. I've been doing this for 16 years. It's what happens. So we're in a downward spiral with these things. We really need to find a way to limit the tax increases. I don't know what went into the 1.5.
Are you also speaking for the township too? Since
no, no, I'm not. No, I'm speaking as an individual.
What?
I'm not speaking.
I'm just saying that they've been raising taxes pretty high percentage-wise over the last 4 or 5 years. But go ahead.
Well, that's this is we're all in the same position, and it would be frankly, since you raised the question, it would be helpful to a better coordination between the school district and the township. That's not what I'm here. The liaison committee doesn't deal with the issues that need to be dealt with from a finance standpoint. So we have this sort of spiral. There was an assessment appeal with Linwood Gardens, which resulted in about a $900,000 payment that was made within the last couple of weeks. I assume that was not budgeted, although I don't know. I don't know if that...
You have a question on that, and Ms. Michaels could answer for you.
Okay.
Was it budgeted for?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
We didn't have the stipulation approved until this year, if you don't know.
Right.
So no, I can't.
Okay.
There was no way.
There's $900,000 that you weren't expecting. I would suggest that it would be appropriate to use some of that to ameliorate the proposed increase. I think that's one thing. Second thing, I have volunteered this almost every year with prior superintendents. A very cheap way of communicating with the public is an insert with the tax bill. Costs about 8 or 9 or 10 cents times 10,000 copies. I strongly urge you to include some kind of explanation, a rationale for whatever it is you decide to do. Not that people necessarily read what is included with the tax bill, but some people will, and I think it's a way to get you some, for $1,000, it's a way to get you some good PR. I do have a couple of questions, Kara. Budget never has local revenue. It's not broken down by millage, by EIT,
correct,
or local services tax. Are you using, well, for the assessed value, are you using the current assessed value numbers, or are you increasing it or decreasing it?
We get a certified assessed value that we use for budget from the county. That's the number I use, and as I monitor the monthly reports, assessment reports that come out, and if there's an increase that is significantly different or would impact the amount of the mill, then I would adjust accordingly.
So I'm not sure if the June report is out yet, but
I have not received
it. Okay.
But I have been adjusting that. I've adjusted it since I've taken over as business manager.
But you're not projecting any increase or decrease, you're just using the actual number.
I'm using
the actual assessed value.
The certified number that I get from the county with reviewing the reports that come out each month from the county, yes.
Are you keeping EIT the same, or are you raising it or lower?
No, I've done a trend on it as I've reported out to the board in previous presentations. I pay attention and have done a 5-year trend on where EIT was. We had, I reported this out to the board. We had a spike in 1 year, and that was with the increased collections when we went to a TCC. I've paid attention to growth in our EIT collections and where those trends are, and I budget accordingly. I have smoothed out revenue to increase revenue on the local side based on trends and based on growth in certain areas. So it has not remained stagnant. I have created additional revenue within our budget by not raising taxes. That happened at the beginning of last year, and that was reported out to the board.
Okay. Is that saying that you have increased, you're projecting more revenue next year than you had budgeted this year?
Yes. Okay. Based on,
do you know what percentage increase that was?
I have to go back and look, not off the top of my head, though.
Local services tax?
Between them, it's a 1 to 2% growth increase. But it has been projected as an increase.
Okay.
Is that it? Thank you.
Just a quick question. What was the surplus?
Identify yourself.
Carol, what was the surplus for the end of this fiscal year?
That has not been determined yet. And right now, the way that we presented budget, we're not going to have a surplus because we're using fund balance. We used fund balance in 2016-17 to balance the budget. So, and if you would wait a little bit, there are slides that talk about where we are right now, so we can talk more on that.
I guess just a personal remark. If anyone was presenting to the community a rate a increase, what you said for the last hour would be very logical, a $648,000 increase, I think is completely justified. What you're going to have a pushback is, not that, is the 1.7%. Because you have given no logic at all to the community, except what's in here, of what 1.7% is. This is completely logical, sensible, thoughtful, everything out of it. It's the 1.7 that has no correlation to anything. You're just raising taxes.
What do you mean?
The 1.7 was talked about from December through until...
In here, you're not talking to the community. The biggest problem the school district has is communication. And what you talked about here is so logical, so sensible, and you're dealing with what people are seeing as a problem. But most people, and you're living in a bubble here, do not understand why you're increasing taxes 1.7%. There's no clarity. There's no understanding of what that means, except, well, the expenses have gone up. That's not justifiable to people. Because, as Steve said, people are desperate. And many people are desperate around their taxes on that. We have no business being brought here because it doesn't work. All right, I'm on the Economic Development Task Force. I'm on the CDCDC. I'm on all these programs. It is really problematic. We are in a terrible, terrible system. And people want this thing to work, but they don't quite understand because the communication is non-existent.
Well, the hard part is the communication will be similar, if not greater, than the communication is always. We've talked ad nauseum to the audience that we have easy access, not even easy access, but our standard and normal avenues of communication. We've had televised meetings, we've had report outs in each of those meetings. So we've talked about this budget, the 1.7%, twice a month to the public, once televised for the past 5 months. Perhaps the concern is because there are members of the public who don't really care about the school district, with the exception of what's it going to do to my taxes, do we have a separate avenue to communicate to them just about the taxes outside of, you know, here are all the other great things that are happening in the school district? We could have that conversation, but on communication, if you don't care, I don't want to say if you don't care, if your concern is really solely taxes and you don't want to opt in to all of the other ways that we communicate what's happening in the district, then perhaps. I don't want it to go by that you're inviting our administration or our board.
My little conversation here. I am probably as well informed of what goes on in this township. I would say I'm in the top 1%.
Absolutely. You're in the bubble.
Right.
Okay. I have no idea why you raised it 1.7%. All right? I can't figure out those numbers. And I'm not stupid, okay? I cannot figure it out, okay? I look at these numbers clearly. We have a meeting this Saturday with a couple of school board members and some people trying to figure this out. We can't figure it out.
Which numbers are you referring to, Fred? The numbers with the Excel spreadsheet that showed our current expenditures, the budget code, and how they shift.
And
how long have you been confused? Because you've been coming to a lot of meetings I've been here.
I don't know the detail of why that occurs.
Okay.
I can't express it. If someone says to me, all right, why are we increasing 1.7? Well, things increase.
Sure.
It's a difficult it's difficult to explain to people why you're increasing. I noticed on one of them that it went from 3 million, your interest went from 3 million to 7 million.
Right, that's $3 million increase in debt service. $2.4 million increase in salaries. $0.6 million increase
and that's
in benefits. That's what you're saying. You don't know that.
And what people are saying is, well, why does it keep on going? Where isn't the cuts happening? I'm giving you the simple version of this thing. But it's what every people are saying. They just don't get it. Everything else, everyone's cutting,
right.
And this isn't working. And I'm trying to see the benefit of
cutting.
Everywhere else we're seeing in their own households, they got to keep cutting.
Okay.
All they're seeing is, The amount of money being spent on the school district keeps going up, and we have all this bad publicity. I mean, they're connecting.
Sure.
And that's why I said, if it's okay, and to Steve's conversation about the 2.5% and it being a communication thing, it's a communication thing after you've made the decision, being a responsible board member, that this is the right thing to do for my house and the rest of the house in the community that we are elected to represent, right? So, being a board member with the information and being engaged in the process and hiring the people and assessing their performance, all of those things going into it, our role is to then say, and next year's budget is going to be. And that's when you have, as a board member, your come to Jesus moment on what the tax increase or decrease or hold the line or whatever it is that we choose and believe is right for the school system and the community. And after that, how we inform Mr. Milbert and how we, you know, put a letter in the document to the seniors who are on fixed income and to those who are out of work and to those who are doing fine and everyone else. It's a communication piece to say, here's why this is the right thing to do. But it doesn't make it not the right thing to do.
I think you have a great communicator in Dr. Mercet. I mean, you have a great communicator. I think just the same thing of his going to schools and talking to teachers, he needs to be out there, not speaking for you, going out there and talking to the community about what is being done regarding the budget and the dollars, because that's hitting 70% of this community that aren't sending their kids to school. What percentage of our households send their kids to school? 35%? Do we know?
I think it's around.
So you're missing all those people that have no way of communicating why their taxes are going through the ceiling, and what are they getting for that? And that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Can I just ask what the Saturday meeting is?
We've invited David and Joel to a meeting of EBTF to talk about why the taxes went up.
So in the conversations we've had about the ongoing rise cost of PISRs, you don't believe that you've been effective in saying here's what the expenses are? You don't think that when we've talked about the increased cost of salaries, we have not been clear, or we're just not sharing that with the larger masses. When we talk about our debt services, and here's how much money we've borrowed, and how much.
I don't think that goes way over people's heads. They don't understand it.
But that's a significant part of the increases that we're seeing about the 2.9 deficit.
Trying to make it quick.
I think there's a lot of people that come, again, I see the cross section of the community, the people that come in say they don't think the school board has any idea what the debt service is, what all this is costing, how this community can afford, you know, five new schools or six new, wherever we wind up. It's just, the numbers, it doesn't work. We're running out of borrowing capacity. Whatever the school district does affects the township and what the township can do. We're all part of the same
township. I would recommend if you have, talk to the finance chair and we'll take the rest of that off.
Real quick.
Can you go to the next agenda item?
Yeah. Just so you got to make it real quick.
I'll make it quick. If it's appropriate. Karen, if it's appropriate, if you this is the place. That $900,000 came out of the blue to us. Are you able to communicate with us, why is this simple as just putting $900,000 in the budget and what you plan
can
to
do? Can I get
do?
Through the rest
is
of my
it?
Presentation?
Got it. Okay, we'll wait.
There's some questions I don't
sure.
want to answer.
Sure.
All right. On to item four. On
Okay, so fund balance. I went through these in depth last year to talk about the different fund balance classifications. The one that is highlighted in red is committed. By the end of the fiscal year, because we are using funds from fund balance to for our 17-18 budget, by June 30th, we have to, through board action, have to commit those funds. So what I'm snapshot here is what our fund balance looked like at the beginning of the year. You'll see that we committed 874,743 for the 16-17 budget. Looking here, the estimated fund balance as of June 30th, which does not include a project out of where we're going to land, we'll talk about that on the next slides. What I did was I decreased it by the amount of the committed 2016-17 budget number of 874. So what it did in essence was decrease our fund balance by that much. What I'm looking for board action on Tuesday is we need to commit money for the 17-18 budget as we have been speaking on this whole budget process. And I also want to commit $6 million into capital projects. Committing it can be done undone by board action. I think with the number of facility projects and things that we have going on, it is smart to commit these funds and reserve a larger amount than we did in the previous year, just to ensure that those funds do not get touched by any other unforeseen things within the district. So the summary is that I will ask for board action on Tuesday to commit the $963,550 for the 17-18 budget and $6 million for capital projects.
Okay, thank you. Why don't you just go ahead and move right on to review the 16-17 budget.
Okay, so if you recall from the last, actually I'll wait till I get to expenses and we can talk some more. So taking a look at where we are on the revenue side, we're at about 92.63% in collections. Going through the fiscal year where we're at, if you the way that I did this, because we're so early in June, I did it through May, we should be at 91.67% collections. And also comparing to where we were for 15-16 year to date, we were at 94.38% in collections. Looking at state revenue, we do anticipate getting the $7 million. We actually got our basic ed subsidy. It was a June 1st subsidy that got booked, but it hasn't been posted to our system yet. And some other subsidies got posted, the special ed as well. But those monies will be encumbered and recognized through the end of our fiscal year, so I do anticipate on those collections. Right now, on the local side, there are some overages that we've had in the areas of, go through this very quickly. In our real estate taxes, no, the $900,000 has not been booked. We saw it hit our account. We're waiting on paperwork before we do hit that. I will speak on that a little bit more on applying that to next year's budget. There's some other areas in interim real estate. There's areas in transfer tax. I believe that there was a sale of property. Cannot remember off the top of my head. That resulted in a higher anticipated number of the real estate transfer tax. Outside of that, there were some overages in little areas of $50,000-$60,000 as I'm trying to smooth out again trend with collection rates on the EIT taxes and other local taxes. On the expenditure side, I'm going to point out the 300 series. If you remember, last meeting, that number was a little bit higher. So one of the things that we had talked about is what was causing that number to go up. If you recall, our IU cost plan for special education came in a lot higher than was anticipated. It was about a little bit over $1 million. We've also exceeded some areas in sub-costs. So because of some areas that we're hitting in special education and transportation, again, transportation, I mentioned at the last meeting that we're also waiting for our IU transportation cost to hit. That'll hit in our subsidy. That number is $2.1 million. 1.2 million was budgeted in anticipation for that. So I talked about that last time, that we had an overage of $900,000. That was going to be offset slightly by the increase in transportation subsidy that we had this year. We had budgeted originally for $800,000. We ended up getting 1.4. So that's going to smooth off that. The other area that what I did was looking at the capital reserve fund, going back probably from when I first got here or prior to me, when we established the capital reserve fund, there was a adjustment done where we had a payable from the general fund into the capital reserve. It was a receivable, and it affected fund balance for the capital reserve. So in speaking with our auditors to take that receivable off so that the general fund did not owe them money, I have reclassified some of our debt service into the capital reserve. So that capital reserve, the $10 million is still there. What it does is it affects fund balance. So our fund balance increased based upon the expenditures to get rid of that receivable that was on the books. So what in essence that did, the 800, 900 objects have reduced since the last time that you've seen this slide. That does not mean that we only paid $6 million in debt service. The remaining portion of our debt service is on the capital reserve fund. You will see that in the monthly report that you get from the board meeting. So that's where you'll see the other set of the debt service. What that has allowed me to do is free up some money to address some of the overages that we anticipate in transportation and in special ed costs. So with that, we're at about 87.2%. Some things that are flagging out to me right now, if you look at last year where we were spend on salaries and benefits, we had a June 2nd payroll, which we did not have last year. So that's accounted for in there. So there's an additional payroll in there. So that's why those numbers are spiked a little bit. Outside of that, everything else was pretty much on track from what I have been reporting out the last couple months.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Michaels. Any quick questions from the board? It's gone.
Very briefly, so we pay fortnightly every 2 weeks?
I'm sorry?
We pay every 2 weeks?
For?
Fortnightly every 2 weeks.
You mean salaries.
Salaries, I'm sorry.
Okay, so a very brief question, because it can have extra payment occasionally in a given year. I know it must be complicated by union issues. Have you thought about paying the 15th and the last day of the month, just so it's an even number of payments every single year?
I think it would be, yes, it would be something we can explore deeper, but I think that would be an issue.
Okay, thanks.
Going from bi-weekly to...
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ms.
Hayward. So I wanted to go back to the question, can we use the $900,000 we got for the Linwood Garden assessment to offset the increase at all?
Right now, based upon how this is ending out, no. What I need to do to see right now is what surpluses we have in our budget this year, because again, there's two more months of transportation bills to pay. There is the IU hit that we did not have. While we have some increased revenue collections on the revenue side, I'm waiting to see where it lands, if there is a surplus. And the contract, and that's the other piece, is that you have to remember that this budget absorbed the first year of the contract, of the teacher's contract. So there are some expense items in this budget that need to be addressed that I cannot commit that $900,000 to offset next year. And again, floating into next year, you have to remember part of the original 1.7% increase was also the settlement of the contract. So you have to take those into account on the presentations and the discussions we had when we originally set budget and where budget landed.
I see no board questions. Any questions from the public? All right, Mike.
So moved. For adjourned.
Thank you, Ms. Michaels.
Second.
Thank you.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.